Carrier, after so many years of psychological beatdowns by our so-called leaders, the idea that companies could be persuaded to stay in America is a real eye-opener. Under Obama, if a company announced they were planning on leaving the U.S., the president would not try to intervene. Instead, he would then use the fact to explain to everyone how America is not who we used to be and we need to accept our new place in the global order. But now that Carrier and Ford are staying, despite the denialists on the left, who also love to celebrate the fact that America was really not that special after all, it seems we are leaving behind the cult of American failure and its chief priest, Barack Obama. Despite the fact that Obama became a cheerleader for failure, American non-preeminence, and a hospice maitre d', he remained moderately popular. Indeed, this reveals the disturbing trend of U.S. Stockholm Syndrome, where the beleaguered citizens began to see the Stalag 17 guard attitude of Barack as not just normal, but beneficial. And just like the dealer who gives out free heroin until his buddies are hooked, yes, leading from the rear becomes not just acceptable, but seen as rare political genius despite its eventual catastrophic results. Now that Trump is in charge, will he reverse course? His problems would appear now that he deeply craves acknowledgement from the elites. He's now making endless calls to Obama to suck up his so-called wisdom. And his infatuation with Romney, the previous nominee, has given out the sickening sense that his campaign rhetoric might have been all bluster. But, friends, let's not jump to any conclusions. Let's give the Donald his room to assemble a cabinet and grow. You might be worried by Trump's dallying with demons and imbeciles, but he's always been his own man and with more twists and turns than a screwball pitcher. So stay tuned. Sports fans, good morning at 6:08. And so we just received word that the Carrier Corporation, as well as Ford, has decided to stay, which is great news, right? And in connection with all this, I think that we have to be grateful. I mean, you know, think about the number of people who really didn't know what they were talking about whatsoever. Lecture you at the drop of a hat to tell you that America's not that special. Other countries hate us. We've got a wretched record full of slavery and all kinds of other things, and that the world's better off if we just get back in line. Well, here's a little bit about Carrier from Fox. Carrier Air Conditioning Company, Indiana, has been persuaded to stay. They are not relocating to Mexico. Neither is Ford.
My agenda will be based on a simple core principle, putting America first. Whether it's producing steel, building cars, or curing disease, I want the next generation of production and innovation to happen right here on our great homeland. America, creating wealth and jobs for American workers. I am going to issue a notification of intent to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I will cancel job-killing restrictions on the production of American energy, including shale energy and clean coal, creating many millions of high-paying jobs.
Donald Trump outlining his plan to make the job market great again. The president-elect promising to take immediate action on things like energy, infrastructure, and trade so more Americans can get back to work. Will his plan work? Hi, everyone. I'm Eric Bowling. Welcome to Cashin' In. Our Cashin' In crew this week, Lisa Booth, Jessica Tarlov, and Rachel Campos Duffy. Welcome, everybody. Now, Lisa, we'll start with you. An ambitious jobs plan for Trump's first 100 days in office. Will it put Americans back to work?
Absolutely. This is what Americans wanted, and I think he will deliver.
Of course he's going to deliver. I mean, he doesn't really have any choice, but why wouldn't he? Now, that was his plan. The thing on Carrier, let me see if I can find that clip, was mislabeled. But here is from MSNBC on this, and let me play this for you in just a second. But, you know, why wouldn't he? I mean, you know, we've had so many politicians who get up and make promises. And here's the frustrating thing. So many times when they go back on their promises, the decision that takes the place of what the promise, where the promise should be, is a bad decision that ends up blowing up in their face. Like when George W. Bush's dad said no new taxes, and then he turned around and brought in new taxes. And that just happened to lead him to not being the president anymore. But it's inevitable that these people go to Washington with certain ideas. They're persuaded, or they were lying, and so they end up doing something else. The thing that they replace conservatism with, a moderatism or, you know, liberalism, whatever, certain socialist ideas that all of their friends, all of the people that they're around, their party demands and insists is the only way to go forward, lays the foundation for failure and disaster later. It's inevitable. It's the craziest thing. That's why people supported Trump. Now, here's from MSNBC.
Other than candidate Trump, the Carrier air conditioning plant in Indianapolis, which back in February, in an announcement that was caught on camera, told its workers they were up and moving production to Mexico.
It became clear that the best way to stay competitive and protect the business for long term is to move production from our facility in Indianapolis to Monterrey, Mexico.
The move would eliminate 1,400 jobs at least in Indianapolis over a three-year timetable. There's also another factory nearby. But after Trump made Carrier part of his campaign platform, workers told NBC News they hoped he would deliver, though they were skeptical.
Now, let's say he does follow through. I'm assuming that would be a euphoric day for everyone at Carrier.
Yeah. I mean, if he could come here and save these 1,400 jobs here tomorrow, I'll gladly vote for him again if he's up for re-election. But you know, I have to be skeptical, but I'm very hopeful that he can come through on these things he said he would do.
Late tonight, CNBC broke news. Trump is heading to Indianapolis this Thursday to announce a deal that would apparently save 1,000 jobs. Carrier confirming that report, tweeting out late tonight, we are pleased to have reached a deal with President-elect Trump and, this is key, VP-elect Pence to keep close to 1,000 jobs in Indy. More details soon. Now, the vice president, of course, the governor of Indiana, had been working on inducements to keep Carrier there for over a nine-month period. And the actual details of the deal, which is a combination one imagines of carrots more than sticks, exactly what Carrier was promised in return, all that remains unclear. CNBC reports the deal terms to keep Carrier jobs in Indiana include new inducements from state. Deal was spearheaded by former Indiana Governor Pence. We will, of course, stay on this, bring you more details on what exactly those inducements.
All right. So here the left is going to say, like they always do, that you can't stop this type of thing because it's the nature of the world. The left, which used to, stand up for the working class, for blue collar and everything, has become a cheerleader for globalism. And even though they reject capitalism, the left is full of contradictions, the far left. They hate capitalism. They totally reject it. Yet at the same time, it's an inevitable force that has to be bowed down to. So if a business needs to relocate from the United States to Paraguay, we need to bow down in front of that. Now, it doesn't seem to me like Obama did. Does anybody ever remember Obama trying to get a company to not leave? I mean, he used that type of thing as proof that America is falling and that we just can't keep our manufacturing jobs, we can't keep production, and that was part of his larger goal on globalism. So as time goes by, people are going to realize that the things that Obama told us were inevitable, that we had to accept, like not being a world energy titan anymore, that we couldn't drill our way out of our energy problems, that we had to accept, like the maitre d' at the hospice, that you're going to die, you're dying, let's make it as nice for you as possible. People are going to realize that those were lies, and they were lies to aid an agenda that was not just against America, but was against humanity itself. 616, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. And we do have a salute to a deceased cockroach named Fidel Castro. Buena Vista Social Club. We'll take a break here on AM Las Cruces. You're listening to KOBE with Kelly O'Connell as we do salute the death of a terrible man. We'll be right back.
En el barrio La Cachispa se ha formado la corredera. Allá fueron los bomberos con sus campanas, sus sirenas. Allí fueron los bomberos con sus campanas, sus sirenas. Ay, mamá, ¿qué pasó? Ay, mamá, ¿qué pasó?
All right, to get into a little more of a story that broke, I guess, a day ago, the Somalian refugee Abdul Artan terrorist attack at Ohio State, where he ended up getting shot like the mangy critter that he was. I've got for you a little description on how terrorists are getting in, and this is from Bill O'Reilly. So, you want to know how these people get in. How many of these people, there's a couple of questions here. How many people show up radicalized and are allowed to get into America. And how many of them are there out there? Is there 1,000, 10,000, 100,000? Nobody knows. Question two, bearing in mind that this country is not Muslim in its approach to life, it's undoubted, and we've already seen that this play out, that if the children of these refugees are taught that the only way to approach life is through Allah and the Quran and the Sharia, then they're going to be frustrated. There's going to be a difference between what life should be, women being covered up, women staying at home, prayers in the middle of the street, no eating of pork, alcohol, all this stuff. There's going to be a level of frustration because Islam teaches that Sharia must be the world law. And by the way, this guy, the gold star father who lives in the United States, this con guy, I had done research. I said this before. I put a lot of research together over a couple of days of what this guy actually believed. He was an expert on Muslim law and had actually written a long paper. And I was thinking about buying this paper, you know, but then I'm just like $30 and I don't want to give $30 to this clown. But it is very consistent with Muslim beliefs, deep Muslim beliefs, to mislead people on their religion so that they can get preeminence. But anyway, here's how terrorists are getting into the country from Bill O'Reilly.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks for watching us tonight. How terrorists are getting to the country. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. This man, 18-year-old Abdul Artan, injured 11 people yesterday at Ohio State University. Their lives will never be the same. There's no question Artan is a terrorist, authorities saying. His computer has all kinds of rotten stuff on it. But how exactly did he get to America and to Ohio State? According to good work by Fox and CBS News, Artan and his family left Somalia in 2007, taking up residence at a refugee camp in Pakistan. It's not unusual. Somalia is a failed state with terrorism everywhere. The family stayed in Pakistan for 7 years before the Obama administration allowed it to emigrate legally to the USA. Since 9/11, about 100,000 Somalis have done that. The Artan family was flown to Dallas, Texas, where the Fox affiliate picks up the story.
Catholic Charities contracts with the federal government to help refugees get an apartment, enroll in school, and get access to health care. Catholic Charities does not pick the refugees. Instead, they're vetted by the State Department, and its Office of Refugee Resettlement determines where they go.
We help hundreds of people over the years, and thousands throughout America are coming in through all kinds of different agencies to seek comfort and aid. And unfortunately, bad things can happen in any walk of life, and this is an example of one horrific action.
The Artan family stayed in Texas for less than a month, eventually moving to Columbus, Ohio, where Artan graduated from community college and was accepted by Ohio State. All along the way, there was little supervision of the family or the 18-year-old. Once they got here, they were like every other American, free to move around at will. They also received government financial assistance to help them adjust to America. Now, as you know, this was a major campaign issue between Clinton and Trump over Muslim immigration. The Democratic Party angry that the Republican Party wants to limit immigration from terrorist states like Somalia. Thus, Donald Trump was branded an anti-Muslim bigot. But step back for a moment. While most refugees who come to the USA are good people, a significant number are not. And when you have radicalized countries like Somalia, where ISIS and Al-Qaeda are widely accepted, shouldn't there be extreme vetting as Mr. Trump has proposed? Chances are the Artan family would not have been flagged as their records are clean. However, it's obvious Abdul did not assimilate. He's a terrorist by his own statements. And there are others like him living here right now. America is a compassionate country. But there is a worldwide Islamic jihad underway. And preventing harm from that has to be given priority over humanitarian concerns.
All right. So anyway, that gives you a little bit of knowledge about how these people are ending up here. Here's one of the things. I mean, this guy gets up and says that, you know, he does his little social media thing. He talks to people. that he was scared to pray in public, but then Allah allowed him to do that. He complained that there wasn't enough prayer rooms. I mean, these people are coming to this country and they're seeing freedom of religion, and they want to know why there's not more freedom for Muslims when there is freedom. You can build your mosque, you can have your prayer rooms, but what they really want and what they're uncomfortable about is living in a place where there's not Sharia law. Now go out into the Middle East if you want and look at all the countries that have a touch of Sharia, and you will see, find a tyranny, and you will find, you know, governments that are totally corrupt and, you know, tremendous human rights abuses and failed economies. But that's what they're looking for. And they don't have the idea that was developed in Europe during the medieval period of a nation state. So they're living in the past. And because we don't want to join them in the past, they want to kill us. A lot of them want to kill us and try to force. So the idea that, you know, somebody's not sympathetic to me and doesn't understand that I come in peace and love, therefore I need to kill him, is obviously one of the most absurd ideas in history, but that's supposedly what is driving these people. Kelly O'Connell, 628, we'll take a break. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. The number to call in, 523-1450, and I just got my little buddy, the text machine, out of the cold. And I'm charging it right now. So 805-6180, 805-6180. We'll be back. All right, so some New Mexico news for you. New Mexico police find 118 pounds of pot on California pilot's plane, Roswell. And a California pilot forced to land a small plane in New Mexico because of mechanical problems now has more problems of another kind. He's been arrested after authorities found nearly 120 pounds of marijuana on his plane. And police say the 37-year-old Michael Armando Teixeira of Gilroy is being held at the Chavez County Detention Center on suspicion of distributing controlled substances. It's unclear if he has an attorney yet. And he landed at the Roswell International Air Center last Friday, and FAA officials reportedly discovered the plane didn't have a flight plan. Actually, it did have a flight plan to smuggle drugs, but so they got a warrant, and after they went over to the plane and started to begin sniffing around and detected marijuana odor, and they found the high-grade marijuana inside the plane inside large bags. All right. Texas Oil Company is buying into New Mexico. It's made a $430 million purchase and is looking to produce production. And so it is, the company's name is Concho Resources, and they're looking to boost production in dozens of square miles in the northern Delaware Basin, much acreage located near the Red Hills area in Lee County. And so they're looking to, the company is successful and they're looking to pump out more oil. Now they've just had a report that came out that said this area has 20 billion barrels in the middle of the Permian Basin. And I had reported on that already. And so they would like to grow production by about 20%. And Wally Drangmeister, spokesman for New Mexico Oil and Gas, says Concho's not going to be alone. And he said there's going to be a lot of companies trying to come in and start working these things. Now, Drangmeister said with fewer than 30 drilling rigs operating in the state, production in 2016 is almost at last year's record levels. So anyway, we hope we get some more oil production. And they were talking about a little bit of a battle that's going on in OPEC, and they're trying to figure out with Iran coming online and other nations out there that are able to produce more oil, if it's possible that they can make an agreement and keep the price a little bit higher. But at the same time, with so much oil out there, and so many of these countries have struggled through last 10 years of, depression or the slump in the markets internationally, then a lot of these places, like obviously Venezuela, is fighting for its life. So, got another story for you here that they are asking for Donald Trump to get rid of some of the monuments, and let me get to that in just a second. But I've got a story for you on Four Corners having the first winter storm of the season up there with some snow.
I'm Devin Ely in Farmington, where snow made travel rough and even closed a few schools.
To eat the snow.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Because it's so good.
Does it taste good?
For the Montoya family, a two-hour school delay is a chance for some bonding.
Not very good snowman snow. Doesn't want to stick.
But a chance to try anyway.
Oh. What are his eyes?
Dog food?
Dog food? How about the nose?
Sterile.
What did you use for his arms?
Sticks.
The snow started Tuesday evening and didn't let up for most of the night. It melted at first, but then froze and left streets and parking lots slick as glass. At least one road was closed completely overnight due to slick conditions, and the San Juan County Sheriff's Department tells us there were at least four rollover accidents today. We found patches of packed snow and ice around 10 o'clock this morning on the way to Aztec. Aztec schools were closed completely for the day, while the rest of the county was just on a two-hour delay.
Getting to sleep in. It's nice. More energy for school, I guess.
And by afternoon, the sun was out, the roads were dry or just wet, but the first real taste of winter weather in the books for Northwest New Mexico.
All right, so that's from KOB. Here is a little bit of weather from this area. We'll be right back. AM Los Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in and 805-61802 text. All right, so we've got a issue that's come up that's kind of fascinating that's never been tested, and the issue is, I'm looking to see if I have a sound clip for it, but it doesn't look like it's come out like that. But let me check another way here. All right, so here is. Well, I don't think I've got anything story, but I'll just kind of pass it on to you here. All right. So you remember the huge brouhaha, the fight over the Oregon Mountains. Now, people on the right, people who are more conservative, are urging Trump to abolish national monuments, including two in New Mexico. A congressman from a bordering state is calling on President-elect Donald Trump to abolish national monuments created during the Obama and Clinton administrations. Representative Rob Bishop, Republican of Utah, who's the House of the Committee on National Resources, is, of course, being fought by these conservation groups. And as you recall, they used the Antiquities Act, which was designed to preserve, ancient stuff, important ancient stuff that was found on land. They misused it according to the purpose of the act, but Obama came in and with the stroke of a pen, he took away hundreds of thousands of acres out of the hands of New Mexicans and basically handed it over to the feds. The act was passed in 1906 during the Republican administration of President Theodore Roosevelt, but they have never, ever tested whether you could take something out of this designation before. Now, Marty Heinrich, our own dear senator, says if any administration thinks they're going to start divesting us of a 100-year history of lands that belong to every American, they're going to have to do it over my dead body. So, like a typical globalist, Americans have more right to New Mexican land than New Mexicans do. Heinrich was joined in this condemnation by New Mexico Democrats, United States Senator Tom Udall and U.S. Representative Ben Ray Lujan, and calling it radicalism and a very ridiculous approach to taking care of our land. But Steve Pierce, our own buddy, said the Antiquities Act requires that a president designates the smallest possible footprint in order to achieve the desired environmental preservation. Americans have witnessed the Obama administration disregard this part of the law, Pierce said in a written statement to, and this is from the Albuquerque Journal. Now, Pierce pointed out that he had tried to protect 60,000 acres of the Oregon Mountains as opposed to nearly 500,000 acres, 496,000. And so Pierce is calling on Trump to review the Oregon Mountain designation and others around the country. And he adds, additionally, Congress should work with Trump in coming years to change the designation process. And so Trump had already commented on this when Obama went into Maine and designated 87,500 acres of donated Maine woodlands, the Cap Auden Woods and Waters National Monument. And Trump said that this decision, done at the stroke of a pen without the support of the local community, undermines the people that live and work right here in Maine. So anyway, there is this fight brewing. What do you think about it? 523-1450-8056-180. Is it true that everything that the left tries to do is right? And it's, you know, are they tapped into the mind of God or what? Just curious, you know. Just curious, they act like they're, you know, sitting at the right hand of God with everything that they do. And if you disagree with them, you need to be driven out of society. All right, so let me look at our other stories here. All right. Oh, all right. So you know what? I had promised you something of rare. I must say it was of rare merit and dubious honor, and that was the bloviations and the crying of Frankie. Do I like Frankie? I do. I do like Frankie, but I thought he was way over the top yesterday. And so Kathy called up and said she no longer listens to the show, as she's done in the past, and her husband was born out of DNA that would not allow him to listen to a show like this. She had already informed me of that. But being a superior and high-minded elitist, but so she called up and said, I heard that you were going to play Frankie, and I listened for that, and I was deeply disappointed. So, Kathy, oh my God. When are these people going to, like, do you really want to live in a country where you're forced to do what's supposedly right? And your free speech is taken away, and your everyday rights are whittled back. Does that really make you feel good? I've never understood that. Here is Frankie's freak out. Well, actually, I tell you what, we'll take a little break and hit it. Be right back. For Frankie's freak out. All right, I'm looking for this thing. I saved it in my drive. I've got hit the old. Okay. Yeah, just as I suspected. Hold on a second here. See, right, just one second. And Frankie Meltdown. Let's see if I can get it to play. Well, I didn't have this yesterday. I was trying to get the other one to play, but here we go. Frankie's Meltdown. Frankie, if you're listening, this is from the doctor. Pour yourself a cup of espresso and sit down and prepare to enjoy this. You have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? This is from yesterday, by the way. A remarkable moment in Frankie history.
We don't have to do anything as Democrats except just sit on the sideline and wait for you conservatives to hang yourselves by your own petard. It's almost going to be biblical in dimension.
Oh, my.
But let my people go.
Oh, my goodness. The bitterness is really oozing out, Frankie. What's going on here?
Give me a break. This guy is a traitor even before he does become inaugurated.
Oh, poor baby.
You and the rest of the conservative radio rant is all over yourself trying to make excuses for all the idiocy that this guy is already producing.
Frankie.
You're going nowhere.
Frankie. Oh, poor baby. I mean, what's your address? I'll send you over some baby food.
I don't need that. Well, I mean, I do like that mashed peaches. I like those peaches.
Listen. What's your explanation, and where's the apology for the idiot that you guys put in for 8 years that has destroyed everything? Or is
57% favorability better than your boy Ronnie Reagan? He's going to knock your boy Ronnie Reagan right out of the running. The Barack Hussein Obama, by golly.
Frankie, you're saying that the polls are suddenly they're healed. They were wrong before the election, but now the polls are healed. Is he going to go out?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I think I told you this a couple of weeks ago after the election or whatever the heck it was. Your boy Trump was saying, you're 45 million jobs. I'm going to bring stuff. He ain't going to do squat. He'll be lucky if he gets 45 jobs before he gets impeached within the first year.
Frankie, let me ask you something. It sounds like you're cheerleading for him to fail. If you're a real American, why would you do that?
Oh, listen, people cheerlead Hitler. Are you supposed to be cheerleading Hitler? No, you gotta understand destruction when you see it.
All right. Okay, so you know the destruction is coming, and your favorite comparison, Hitler is Trump, is coming back here. So you don't have any sense of we screwed up, we were in charge, everything was going down the toilet. And of course, the Republicans were going to come things over. We had 2% growth for 8 years, and people didn't want that anymore. There's no sense of ownership for that.
Hey, listen, we did the best we could, but it was all you conservatives that got in the way of the great DHO trying to make America great again. It was your fault that he failed.
Frankie.
And he didn't fail.
Frankie, now, I guess you're telling us that the world's greatest orator, the world's most persuasive person, couldn't get his own House and Senate to give good bills out there, huh?
No, that's right. He couldn't because he had, just like you guys, you Republicans, you got the Senate, but you don't have a majority. It was the same thing with BHO back in 2009 and 10. And I would remind you and your listeners again, what was the first thing that turtle-faced-looking dork Mooch McCrapo say? He said the most pressing problem that we have as Republicans is to make BHO a one-term president. Now, if you talk about somebody like that who is going to be on board to try and make America great again, we could turn this thing around and throw it right back in your face the same way.
But what?
We Republicans are going to make a mess of anything that you're going to try to do.
Frankie. So you guys had a chance at running things. You failed, but you're not above sabotaging the next guy.
Well, yeah, it's good for the goose, good for the gander. We're going to show you exactly what you did to us, by golly, for sure.
Poor little Barack. So anyway, I asked if a Democrat would call up and say what the Democratic Party needs to change, and it sounds like what you're saying is we need to do more of what we've been doing.
No, all we have to do is nothing, like I said before. You guys are going to fall on your own petard. You see it right now. You just don't want to admit it. You're in a case of serious denial. Right off the bat, he claims millions of illegal voters. This guy says stuff that is so far off the deep end, and you defend him. And the rest of all these wannabe people who want a job, who can't get a job because they're not geared, because they're spending too much time drinking beer and going to stupid football games. It's their own fault they can't get a job. Simple as that. And Trump ain't going to do anything about it. Nothing. Zero. Squat.
But the OECD has already said that the rate of growth is set to double.
Yeah. Take squat. 45 million jobs in 10 years, right? He's going to bring businesses back that are already overseas. Yeah. that takes fly too. Come on, guy is a whack job.
What are we
talking about? 25th Amendment, that they're going to get him out, impeach him because he's a kook.
Right,
and he is a kook.
Just like they're gonna do a recount and pull him out too. Thanks for the call. All right, so that was Frankie, one of his finest moments in history. And Kathy, I hope that you really jumped up and down for joy with this little pronouncement. Here is our sponsor, a new sponsor. That's right, folks. It's Cafe Go-Go sponsoring the Kelly O'Connell Show. And here's just some, this is if you went in for a few appetizers, jumbo lump blue crab cakes, nice and fresh, really tasty. I've had them many times. Green chili chicken wontons, a local favorite. Chicken pot stickers, a yummy way to start a meal. Vegetable spring rolls, premium fried calamari, and the best burgers, the Bistro Burgers. The best burgers in town, I guarantee you. I eat there all the time, of course. 1120 Commerce, phone number for a reservation. Although you really don't need a reservation. They're pretty casual. And they have a new bar with a little bit of sports TV thrown in there. 522-0383, 1120 Commerce. It's across from Sam's. And it is just phenomenal food. Okay. We're out of time on this segment, dear friends. Wasn't that nice to hear the tears and the cries of Frankie? And Kathy is home hugging herself, wishing this whole thing was just a terrible dream. It's not. Your clown is out. There's a new sheriff in town. 6:59. Yes, the years of the celebration of American failure are just about over. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and 805-6180 to text. We'll be back. And a salute to a dead cockroach in Cuba, Fidel Castro. It's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, thanks for that. I really enjoyed Frankie. I'm not at home hugging myself. I'm out in the truck drinking coffee saying, yeah, not bad, Frankie.
God bless you, Kelly.
I don't hope he fails. I do not hope he fails.
Well, Frankie does.
Well, I don't have to hope it. I think it's going to just come naturally. I think he's just wrong, but kind of like you thought Obama was. So you guys have your chance, you know. Nothing we can do about it. But what I don't like is his crybabying about I won the popular vote too. They just all cheated. Oh, get over it. You won the frickin' college. Good for you. You're our president. Get on with acting like an adult. My God, I can't believe this man. But if you're proud of him, okay, good for you. I'm proud of Barack. I think he's the most wonderful president since Abraham Lincoln, and I always will. And Trump will have 4 years to – probably not 4 years. I agree with Frankie. I don't think he's going to last, but maybe. But anyhow, thanks for playing that. I missed it. I turned it on that day just as you were laughing about it, and I thought, darn it, wish I would have heard that. So thanks for playing that again. Really appreciate it.
A remarkable moment in broadcasting history.
I love Frankie. Leave him alone. He's a good part of your show. He really is. I love that accent. Where do you think he's from?
He's from New York or New Jersey.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, too. Oh, that was great. anyhow, I try to listen, Kelly. I truly do. I turn the radio on, but I've got the CNN on, you know, on the satellite radio, and I just go back and forth between the both of you. And when I just get to the point where I feel like I want to reach through the radio and strangle you, I change the channel.
That's a nice liberal thought.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Kathy.
I can't help it. It's in my soul. That's how I am.
Well, God bless you. God bless your soul. I got to go grab another cup of coffee. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so just got a call from Kathy, who thanked me for playing the rant. Now, I know people wanted to talk about Romney and how much they hated his guts, which I agree. I mean, the guy really deserves to have his guts hated, but I see that Trump had dinner with him last night. And you know what I think it is? I honestly think that one of the things that Trump finds attractive about the guy is that he is a family man and he's got a great family. Just like Trump. Now, Trump has been married a few times and kids from a couple of different marriages, but I think Trump is probably most proud of his family, and he sees somebody like Mitt Romney and thinks he can't be all that bad. I totally disagree. I think it would be a major, major mistake to bring in Romney. And not necessarily because of what he would do, although I don't have any faith in the guy. He's obviously a pretty liberal person if he invented Obamacare, right? But I really think it would set the wrong tone for his administration and what kind of a person he was and what his expectations were. And I just think it would be a terrible idea. But anyway, here is Representative Chris Collins from New York talking about Romney.
What's going on with Romney? Trump comes forward and says, you know what? I can be the bigger man. I know what he said, but I liked when I met him. And boy, he could be really qualified for Secretary of State. Now you got Kellyanne, who's not in the business of contradicting Mr. Trump, savaging Romney, Newt Gingrich savaging Romney. What's going on? Trump put his name out, and now they seem to be eating their own.
Well, I mean, what do I know about Mitt Romney? I know that he is a self-serving egomaniac who puts himself first, who has a chip on his shoulder that thinks he should be president of the United States. I mean, there's no love lost between me and Mitt Romney. I've called him a loser for the last 6 months.
But why did President-elect Donald Trump say, I like this guy, I think he could be Secretary of State? And you certainly didn't say that when he first came out with his name. What changed here?
Well, I'm going to leave it up to President-elect Trump to pick the people in his cabinet that he thinks can serve his administration. Healthy debate is a good thing. Disagreement is a good thing. Once you come to an agreement, though, you've got to move on. My concern is that Mitt Romney is a bit of a lone wolf and might not take the advice of or the direction of President-elect Trump. I mean, he is a lone wolf. And so from that would I choose him? No. But if President-elect Trump does, I'll certainly support that decision. It's up to the president-elect to surround himself with the people that he thinks can best serve his administration. But I have not seen in Mitt Romney the personality traits of someone who will take direction.
All right, that's basically my thoughts, too. I don't like the guy. I think he's I don't trust him. And I think that what he did was so over the top that it's not a question of whether he should be forgiven, you know. It's a question of whether he can be trusted. And for him to have personally attacked Donald Trump and said that he knew he was a con artist, he knew he was a liar, that he was a bad businessman, for him to have said that and then say, there is no acceptable candidate, I therefore offer myself, is one of the worst things I've ever seen. I cannot believe I simply cannot believe that he would even be on the list. Now, here are a couple of other different angles on this thing. I could play you 100 clips of how terrible the guy is. But here is the claim. And this, I found these statements to be weird. Mark Leibovich works for the New York Times Magazine. He's the chief national correspondent, and he's usually pretty solid. I thought this was kind of a strange rumor that he's bringing up, but it could be true. Check this out on Trump and Romney and Kellyanne Conway, for that matter.
Mark Leibovich is chief national correspondent for the New York Times Magazine and a CBS News political contributor. He joins us now from Washington. Mark, good morning.
Hi, Nora.
Let's talk about this extraordinary public display of infighting in the Trump campaign over who to choose for Secretary of State. Were Kellyanne Conway's remarks about Mitt Romney, were they sanctioned, or is Trump now angry with her about making those?
To me, it's one of those two choices. I mean, I think the more interesting, you know, I think what is entirely likely here, given how we've seen the Trump team operate, is that Donald Trump is essentially telling her to go out and make public statements that would denigrate one of the candidates in a way to sort of add drama to the process, but also to, if he ultimately does pick Mitt Romney, make him seem more magnanimous in a way. It's unclear what Mitt Romney's role in all this, what he knows, and why he's going along with it.
But do you believe, though, that Kellyanne Conway would not be speaking out so publicly if she thought that it would be upsetting to Donald Trump? You are saying that, correct?
My sense is yes. I think it would be somewhat unlikely, especially since she's gone all over TV, you know, consistently, especially over the last few days, towing not what so much a party line, but being very, very strenuous in her support of everything else Donald Trump has done. So it's a bit strange to sort of see a divergence there.
Mark, can we talk about the recount in Wisconsin? What's your take on the Clinton campaign's participation in that?
Well, what's interesting to me is that Hillary Clinton herself hasn't said anything publicly about this.
All right, so let me move on to these other comments. Donald Trump supposedly furious over the comments of Kellyanne Conway, but you've just heard that's either true or it's not.
Information that we have to share this morning, two sources at the top of the Trump transition team confirmed to MSNBC that they spoke to the president-elect today and that Donald Trump was, quote, furious at Kellyanne Conway's comments on Sunday, suggesting Trump betrayed his supporters by even considering Mitt Romney for a position in his cabinet. Kellyanne went rogue at Donald Trump's expense at the worst possible time, a source familiar with Trump's thinking said. Trump's top aide said they were, quote, baffled by Conway's comments and suggested that it feeds into a growing concern inside the campaign that, quote, instead of driving Donald Trump's message, she's pushing her own agenda. One top transition aide said, quote, it's dangerous. Steve Bannon and Reince Priebus have reportedly been growing frustrated by Kellyanne Conway's failure to become a team player in a transition process where the top players are forming a tight-knit group around the president-elect.
Jeremy Peters, this is extraordinarily undisciplined, and I'm sure you've heard the same thing that our reports have here, that those closest to Donald Trump running his transition are baffled by what she did yesterday.
I think in all the extraordinary Conwayisms that we've heard over the course of this campaign, concerned citizen might be one for the books there. But her concern aside, I think what Kellyanne is reflecting there is a real sense inside the Trump campaign, although hers is more indiscreet than some of the other people I've spoken with.
But there is a real concern that Romney would get in. And here is Newt Gingrich, is usually the most articulate person on these things. And he is going to weigh in here because people have repeatedly mentioned Romney on the show when they've called in and texted. I thought it would be fitting to do a bash Romney. And this is from Fox. This is Newt Gingrich, which we'll be playing in just a second. Or won't be. It's kind of, all right, here we go.
Three key states moves forward, even as one of those states sort of.
All right. Wait a second here. Reloading. Here we go.
Our next guest warns that a Secretary Romney would leave Mr. Trump's supporters feeling betrayed, suggesting in a Fox op-ed today on FoxNews.com, quote, President-elect Trump should get up every day and begin by looking at his own campaign promises. He owes his presidency to the people who believed in him, not to the courtiers and schmoozers who had contempt for him as a candidate, but adore him now that he's going to be president. Newt Gingrich is a former House Speaker and author of the book Treason. Mr. Speaker, good to see you tonight. So you called this potential appointment as Mitt Romney as Secretary of State a huge mistake and even outrageous. To those who say, all right, you know, Donald Trump knows what he's doing. This could be a counterbalance to some of the more, you know, hardliners in the administration he's creating. How do you justify those comments?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, President-elect Trump can pick anyone he wants. He is going to be president. If he picks Romney, I'll support him because he has the right to build a cabinet he wants to have. But as long as we're discussing the possibility, I think it's a disaster. I think, first of all, Romney's not like the team of rivals around Abraham Lincoln. None of the team of rivals opposed Lincoln in the general election. Romney fought against Trump every single step of the way and fought against him with really vicious language. I mean, if you look at the things that Romney said about Trump, you'd have to say to yourself, I don't care how good a schmoozer he is, why would you believe him? I mean, if he comes in now and says, you know, all those mean, vicious things I said about you, I didn't really mean it. Give me a break. Again, this is not as somebody who's a competitor.
Let me challenge on you on this. Sure. Even Kellyanne Conway said some very vicious things about Donald Trump. You know, maybe very vicious is too much of a stretch, but she attacked him because she was a Ted Cruz supporter.
Of course.
You know, that kind of thing tends to happen. And then they're both Republicans. They come together after the election. Mitt Romney and Donald Trump, reportedly, Donald Trump had a lot of respect for the way Mitt Romney ran Bain Capital. And Mitt Romney and Donald Trump have a mutual friend who tried to broker this alliance, according to a very interesting report today in the Washington Post. So can't that happen?
I have no doubt, for example, that Speaker Paul Ryan very much favors Mitt Romney. Romney picked him to be the vice presidential candidate. They are very close personally. Reince Priebus, who was a great national committee chairman, is very, very close to Ryan and was national committee chairman during a period when Romney was the nominee. So there are a lot of different things going on here. I'm only suggesting that when you have potentially a Rudy Giuliani, you have an Ambassador Bolton, you have a wide range of people you could reach out to decide that the person, and if you go back and you play the tone, the hostility, the contempt of the Romney speeches, and these were whole speeches.
No, you're right.
You know. It's pretty hard to imagine.
He went after Trump harder than anybody.
Well, you have to say yourself, why would Trump believe that Romney's going to be Trump's Secretary of State? I know he wants to be Secretary of State, but my hunch is he'll turn out to be Romney's Secretary of State.
So we're going to see, because this is their second meeting, and we're told that their wives also met tonight. I want to ask you, though, because you had a couple, first about this critique you had for the president-elect, and then I want to talk to you about the advice you had for him in his column.
All right, so that's the feeling. I think it would be a disaster, and the reason I think it would be is he just got in. People really don't know anything about Trump other than, you know, he's a businessman and that, you know, whatever he stated during the election. This would put an indelible stamp on the idea that it doesn't matter if you're a traitor to Trump, which is going to leave people with the impression that he's not competent. Now, people know he's a competent businessman to a certain extent, but they're going to look at that and say, if he accepts this from Romney, it's just politics as usual. He doesn't care whether this guy is any good. And but I mean, I think the main thing is the people that supported Trump, that voted him in, don't want Romney. They don't like Romney. They think he's a bad person. They doubt his motivations, and they think that he's exactly the kind of person that Trump should be totally opposed to. They are baffled that Trump would give an embrace to someone who had personally denigrated him repeatedly and done everything he could to kill his candidacy. It really doesn't make any sense. Other than that, I can't, you know, say much. Let's take a little segue here. 720 AM Las Cruces AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180. When we come back, I'll get into some texts. KOBE Kelly. All right, so your texts, and here we go. So, all right, so these are some long texts here. So Trump wants to jail flag burners for a year, although I find burning the flag a reprehensible thing to do. The Supreme Court ruled that it is a protected form of unpleasant speech. I guess kind of like most of the stuff Trump says, he has a right to say it, even if it's disgusting and untrue. So just like he can protest, so can people who oppose him. This isn't Russia yet. Kathy, you know, Kelly, there is a disconnect between Trump and the underpinning philosophy that makes us a pluralistic and democratic society, which I feel makes us better than the countries he routinely lambasts, Cuba, Iran, China, where flag burning is illegal. Wait, hold on a second here. Oh, okay. She says we're better than that. All right. I would love to hear the interview you had a long time ago with the person who talked about underground water resources and how our monument can... National Monument designation can affect that. Is that archived in Blog Talk? Yes, it is, Abigail. I think that was, well, I did a whole week on the, that was a couple of years ago. I did a whole week on various parts of the Oregon Mountain proposal. And did you see the bubble living segment on Saturday Night Live? You should play it for Frankie and Kathy. Maybe we're ready for a two-state solution. Progressive Dems and the rest of the country who want America to get working again. I'll try to find that. And Trump snaps out of it. He was a liberal once upon a time. That's the problem. I would find out from the guy who he voted for. I mean, you know, I don't trust Romney in the least. So, all right, now here's a question coming up, and the question is, will the House and Senate on its own go after Hillary? Here's Representative Chavez. Trump has said he wouldn't, but then Hillary got involved in this stupid recount, which is just causing problems. So check this out.
May not be the next president. She's not going to be, but House Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz says Congress is not done investigating her use of a private email server and an alleged pay-to-play scam at the Clinton Foundation. Chairman Chaffetz joins us now. Mr. Chairman, great to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate
so this is going to continue. Why?
Well, we got to get to the truth. It was never about the political targeting of Hillary Clinton, but she did create one of the biggest security breaches in the history of the State Department. Mm-hmm. So we have tens of thousands of documents we still haven't seen. You have more than Hillary Clinton involved in this. You have dozens of people within that, the bowels of the organization. You have the Undersecretary of Management, Patrick Kennedy, who says he was able to bury documents down into the bowels of the State Department by misusing a FOIA designation, a Freedom of Information Act designation. You still have an open investigation at the State Department itself. So, you know, we have a whole array of things.
Now, the State
Clinton
Department
Foundation,
investigation,
I mean,
that will not come to a close when power changes hands from Obama to Trump.
Well, it should. I mean, you have people who have security clearances that obviously violated those, but have not been disciplined in any way, shape, or form that I can tell at the State Department. Of course we're going to look at that. We'd be remiss to just dismiss it. It wasn't political targeting at the beginning. So because there's been a political election, why should I just drop it?
Well, that's right. In fact, the stakes are lower now because she's not running for anything.
But we have one of the biggest security breaches
right.
ever. Of course we got to fix that. How did they migrate all of this classified information out of the system? You know, you're not sitting at one
the mechanics of it, you mean?
Yeah.
Do you not know that yet?
No, because you can't sit at one computer and, oh, this one's classified, this one's not classified. Somebody had to physically take that and put it on another system, either upload it on a thumb drive
retype
it.
So what's the answer? Have you asked them directly?
Well, that's why they owe us tens of thousands of documents from the Department of Justice and from the State Department itself.
So here's a mechanical question that got lost in the noise of the final week of the campaign. But I think there are about 650,000 emails on the infamous Wiener computer, okay? And the FBI says it evaluated them in a relatively short period of time. It takes me weeks to get my passport renewed. How did they do that?
And why did it take, when they were looking at 30,000, it took a month to get through it? They also were very, if you go back and actually read that letter, they only looked at Hillary Clinton's emails while she was Secretary of State. Well, the committee is very interested in what she did when she set up her server, which was actually the day she started her Senate confirmation. And what about all those months and years after the fact? Because we still, here in 2016, getting ready to celebrate New Year's, we still don't have the documents that go back to 2009.
If you were president, newly elected president, would you keep Comey on as FBI director?
Well, I am not in the position to make that direction.
Do you have confidence in him personally?
Yes, I do have confidence in him. I have nothing to believe that he was politically motivated. He'd had a duty and an obligation to actually present to Congress the fact that he was, because of our July hearing, that he was actually continuing the investigation when he said that it was had concluded. It was obviously not. They were going to spend money and resources. He had to notify Congress. And so to that regard, he did the right thing.
Huh. So, I mean, because looking at it just from a civilian perspective, you're getting whiplash going back and forth. What is this about? But you think at every turn he did the prescribed thing, the thing that.
All right. So I don't know if he's going to survive, but I know I don't have any faith in the guy. 731 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. You're listening to KOBE. And 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. We are going to come back, and I got more stuff for you. Weird stories. Hey, it's Kelly. Kelly?
Hey, Kelly. Great.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Not much. How you doing, man?
Good. What's going on?
A little this, a little of that. How's your show?
Good, good. Things are good. How about you?
Pretty well, pretty well. Just headed down to a mediation and
I'm about
calling.
I'm about on the air. Did you want to say something on the air?
Yeah, sure. Just about cabinet picks.
All right. Okay, hold on. All right, folks. So we have Brother Bryce on the air here. Good morning, Bryce. How's it going?
Hey, Kelly. Pretty well. Hello from Vermont.
Hello, and what's the weather like there right now?
It's rainy and in the mid-40s.
Sounds pleasant enough. All right. So what you wanted to say something about the cabinet picks?
Yeah, I just observed that Trump picked for the Treasury Secretary, he picked a longtime banker and someone who had worked at, I think, Goldman Sachs for a period of time. And I'm just wondering, is this the kind of change that he really promised?
Well, I mean, you know, so if somebody had worked at Goldman Sachs, they're invalidated or unqualified for government. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that, you know, he talked about draining the swamp, and it seems more and more like he might be going back on that promise.
So according to you, draining the swamp would mean that it would be totally untested people from outside of D.C. across the board?
No, but it wouldn't be people who believe the same things that everyone else has believed that got us into the messes that he says that, you know, they got us into. I mean, he was considering Jamie Dimon, who he said was the worst banker in the world when Hillary Clinton mentioned her. So I'm just wondering, you know, when are we going to see some real change?
So you think he's a liar?
I don't know if he's a liar. I think that he may not be capable of doing what he said he was going to try and do, which is really shake up Washington and bring about some real change. It looks like from his cabinet post, it looks like there's going to be a very conservative administration that is very similar to the George W. Bush administration.
Well, what about Mad Dog Mattis as the head of defense?
Well, again, you know, Trump ran against the Iraq war, and I guess we'll have to just wait and see whether or not starts pulling more troops out of the Middle East or if he starts sending more there.
So none of the picks are out of the ordinary.
I just don't think so far I have not seen any indication that there's going to be a significant deviation in policy from the neocons.
All right. Here's my problem with what you're saying. I'm just kind of analyzing this because Bryce and I didn't talk about this before he came on the air. My problem with what you're saying is that you're saying that he couldn't have anybody who was a traditional conservative, which would mean what kind of people would they couldn't be radical liberals, which is the group of people that are just leaving. You couldn't have traditional conservatives. What kind of people do you think would be left?
Well, so first of all, it's not radical liberals who are leaving. It's corporatist Democrats.
They're radical. Barack Obama, as far as I can tell, is a Marxist, and so many of the things that he has done have been destructive of the overall order of America. For example, bringing in as many Muslims as he can and just like flooding the gate with illegals that's right near where we're living right now and bringing chaos into the Middle East. That's my argument. We don't have enough time for it. Getting into it. But anyway, just let's, because I got some other stuff some other clips I need to play. Just briefly, what is your prediction?
Well, the proof's going to be in the pudding, but my prediction is that we end up with 4 years of tax cuts and increased military spending, maybe a little bit more domestic spending as well, that they try to gut Social Security, that they try to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something that is completely ineffective in helping people maintain health insurance. And in 4 years, people are going to look back and say, damn, Obama was actually pretty good.
Well, without a massive movement for more propaganda in the school system and in the media, which we've already seen in this election, I don't think that's possible. People are coming to grips with the fact when the OECD says there's going to be double growth, and when two companies who were going to be leaving said they're going to stay, the lies of Obama are coming to the surface, and they're very, very, very ugly, and they're very damaging to America. Bryce, I got to go. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks. Let's see here. I didn't know he was going to call in this morning, but I thought I'd give him a shot. Is a little bit of weird news for you. Man drives around neighborhood. He's got, well, I won't spoil it for you. He's waking people up, but check this out. This is from L.A. El Segundo.
Hello, I'm Jeff Vaughn.
Hi, everyone. I'm Susie Saab. Bizarre neighborhood dispute in the South Bay tonight. Police have arrested a man they say was having troubles with a neighbor. And to get even, he allegedly was blowing a bone-rattling loud railroad horn in the middle of the night for weeks. Tonight, KCAL's Erica Nocklin is live in El Segundo with the story. Erica.
Yeah, Susie and Jeff, police and this entire neighborhood have been trying to catch this guy for more than a month. He had a very sophisticated way of waking people up around here, but police say there's only so much they can do about it.
It's the middle of the night, and you're jolted awake by this.
It was like the loudest horn I've ever heard.
Everyone woke up. Sometimes 6 in the morning, sometimes 4 in the morning, sometimes.
So what happened was, and I think this might have frozen up, but what happened was this guy had a little car.
El Segundo neighborhood for 5 weeks straight.
I can't tell you how many people were ticked off at him.
Police say they now know this guy, John Nugent, is responsible. Officers have been trying to find him, and they finally did at 4 o'clock.
This guy looks like, let me put it to you this way, this guy looks like Charlie Manson. And they finally found this guy. He was driving around in a small car. And a very small car, and they said, what are you doing? So he would drive by. He would go through stop signs and red lights. He was blasting a horn that was from a train. And so they opened up his car, and they found that he had spent an enormous amount of money putting a train horn or an 18-wheeler horn into his car. So anyway, I thought that was lightly entertaining there. Another weird story. Vandal, a lady leaves her car in front of somebody else's house and comes back and finds that it's torn limb from limb, and that passerbys didn't call the police during this 6-hour episode. They just filmed her on their phones.
Criminal in the act. A vandal went to town on a woman's car. Tonight, the owner spoke to CBS2's Rachel Kim, who joins us live from Koreatown. Rachel.
Yeah, Susie, that car owner is really upset and heartbroken, and you can see why. Check it out. The damage is extensive. A lot of us would cry, too, if we saw our car looking like this. Stacey Omelianoff says she left her Buick LeCerne parked in front of her friend's house in Koreatown on Thanksgiving night to celebrate the holiday in Chino. Friday morning, she found her car vandalized and destroyed.
And now I'm out of a car, period.
She quickly found out who did it and how on her friend's security video. Around 3 a.m. Friday, this woman broke off the windshield wiper and used it, along with a pipe and piece of wood, to carve letters and words all over the car. But she wasn't finished. She got on top and started jumping, causing more damage on the roof. After taking a break on the hood, she came back and tore off the gas cap. Next, she ripped out the grill. Stacy also saw that the woman had flattened a tire with this piece of wood that had nails wedged in it. The vandal stayed at it for 6 hours.
I'm angry, I'm hurt, frustrated, and at the same time, I understand that she has a mental problem.
After a business owner finally called police around 9 a.m., the LAPD took her into custody. Stacy is upset because several people saw what was going on but didn't do enough to stop her.
They would come by, stop, back up, take pictures, video, and just take off.
What's making this?
That's the kind of country, I guess, we live in now. Let's take a little segue here, and we'll be back and finish her up. Got a little weather for you as well. All right, so let's see here. There's some. I wanted to pass this on to you. E-dating, for those of you who look for love online. Now, there are some interesting terminology that you should know. Well, first of all, I told you the other day, they said that the average person dates 6 people at once online, which is kind of hard to believe. But if you're in touch with somebody, if you go out on a date and then you don't hear from the person again, or you're online and you have a romance and the person suddenly stops you and you try to contact them and they're not available, they're not out there, they disappear, that's called ghosting. Now, ghosting is followed up sometimes, and this is from the UK Independent, unghosting. And unghosting is when someone who has dropped you and decided that you're not up to snuff for one reason or another, which I will get into in a few minutes, comes back and contacts you again. And unghosting is when they contact you and say, basically, I'm back. Here's Johnny. And so that's unghosting. Now, breadcrumbing. What is breadcrumbing? Breadcrumbing is when someone that you have some sort of an online romance with stays in touch just enough, maybe every couple of months, every month or so, saying, hey, how's it going? How you been? How are things? Breadcrumbing, dropping a few crumbs here or there just to keep the person interested and to suggest that it is they're still out there. They're still in the game. Now, here is something else. Biggest dating deal breakers. I found this a little bit boring, but anyway, I'll read this to you. The most serious deal breakers for those looking to date or hook up by group. The group 18 to 29 female, straight female. Most serious deal breakers being sexist. The second one, racist or intolerant. 18 to 29 male. Number one deal breaker, racist or intolerant. 2, bad hygiene. 30 to 40 female. The most serious deal breaker being sexist or racist or intolerant. 30 to 40 male, bad hygiene. Is number one. 2 is racist or intolerant. 41 years and older female, racist or intolerant. Number one deal breaker. Number 2, bad hygiene. 41 year old male and older, bad hygiene and closed minded and inconsiderate. Heterosexual female across the board. Number one deal breaker being sexist and number 2, racist or intolerant. Heterosexual male across the board. Number one deal breaker, bad hygiene. And number 2, racist or intolerant. Now, this is the one thing that stuck out here. These are almost all alike except one. Lesbian female, number 1 deal breaker, does drugs or does drugs too much is the number 1 deal breaker. Number 2 is racist or intolerant. And the number 1 gay male deal breaker is if the person has bad hygiene or number 2, racist or intolerant. Bisexual female, racist or intolerant. Number 1, number 2, sexist. Bisexual male, bad hygiene is one, and number 2, racist or intolerant. So why, out of all of the groups, is it only mentioned one time and as the number 1 complaint that does drugs or does too much drugs? It makes you think possibly there could be a drug problem in the gay female world. Now, let's see. Let's take our last break and we'll come back and finish her up. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text on KOBE at 752. All right, so a few concluding thoughts here, and Alwyn, we do have the sponsor, one of the sponsors of the show, Cafe. Cafe Go-Go at 1120 Commerce. Go in there and try a bistro burger right across from Sam's House. Blue Burger, the barn with a fried egg on top, the California with avocado, green chili cheddar burger, and house cheeseburger, best burgers you've ever tasted. All right, so here's a little bit more on, and I'm going to be playing piano in this place probably once a week. I played there the other night just to kind of warm up, and it was good, good acoustics and everything. All right, a little more on Kanye West, and I mentioned this to somebody. And they said that you're hating on the guy. And I'm not really. I mean, Kanye West had a mental breakdown. So some people say it's to get $31 million that he would have made from his tour. Other people said it was a genuine breakdown after he embraced Trump. There's no greater sign of craziness than that. Now, from his statements about himself, Kanye West in the past has claimed to be misunderstood. He's the rapper who's married to the lady in the Kardashians, Kim Kardashian. He's misunderstood. He's mentally at least 10 years ahead of everyone else. He has so much God-given talent that he just might be a deity himself. Nobody else is like him. He's an individual. He's a meta postmodern cross-cultural pop star genius. He's dope. He's an artistic genius. And if you don't understand or appreciate what he creates and says, you must be ignorant or uninvolved. He's often offended. He's a genius. All right. Now, one of the strange things that I noticed about this guy, he did a, and I've never heard any of his music, to be totally honest, because I don't listen to rap. He put out an album, I believe, called Yeezus. Now, I think his Saint Pablo album is number one right now, but he put out this album called Yeezus. He, and this is very typical of people that are mentally ill, either sees himself as a god or having superhuman powers. Now, he has paranoia. He's been hospitalized at the UCLA Medical Center for an unspecified amount of time. He's suffering from super paranoia, and this is what he felt, that he pushed himself too much. He's got severe paranoia over nothing real or tangible. He was thinking people were out to kill him and destroy his marriage. And he didn't sleep and had hallucinations that supposedly came from not sleeping. But he really has the characteristics of a schizophrenic, because he has called himself a god. He believes that he is a deity, and he's expressed it in his art. He's expressed it personally. And also he's expressed a number of ideas that put him in the super normal range. So he's really nuts, I think. And I don't think he's ever going to be himself once he comes out of there. 7:59 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. And we'll take you out with some The Toast to the Dead Cockroach, Fidel Castro. Have a great day. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao.